Voice of Truth Global Ministry presents Immortality Readiness Conference, Team Contending for the Faith in Times Such as These. Date, Friday 24th and Saturday 25th August 2012. Time, Friday 5:30 p.m., Saturday 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Venue, First Baptist Church, No. 5 Ayinde Street, off Ogudu Road, Ojota, Lagos State. Ministering, Junji Akiola, Senior Pastor, International House of His Presence, Port Harcourt, Yinka Ajakaye, Gospel Pavilion, Lagos. Segun Okuboyejo, Lagos. Femi Bakare, Convener. Immortality Readiness Conference. Be there. Jesus is Lord.
Praise the Lord. Are we alive and well? Are you in here or you're already at home? Praise the Lord. All right. Tonight, I'd just like to touch several things to lay foundations for things where we'll be looking into tonight as well as tomorrow. Before I go back to my base, I bring greetings from my wife and the church God has set us over in Port Harcourt. Tonight, I would like to give the title of what I'd like to address today and tomorrow. I'd like to give it the title, Prepare. Prepare. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because your presence is here tonight. We appreciate your love, your mercy, your kindness. We thank you because your hand is upon us. You have a purpose for this meeting. Known unto you are all your works from the beginning of the world. And Lord, we ask of you in this time as we speak forth your word, not just to the people here present, but to the spiritual climate over this house, the spiritual climate over this neighborhood, the spiritual climate over this city. Lord, we ask that you will do that which you have ordained to do from the foundations of the earth through this meeting in the name of Jesus. Speak your counsels into the hearts of your people. Bring forth grace for living in these perilous times. Help us to download your counsel, to walk in your will, to have victorious times in the midst of the perversity around us. And Father, we trust you for answered prayers because we are prayed with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Straight to the point, we need to recognize that this conference has a thrust. It has a primary purpose, which is to prepare a people for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It needs to be clear to us that life goes far beyond our earthly sojourn, our earthly existence, whether you live for 50 years, or you live for 70 years, or you live for 100 years, or you live for 120 years, life on earth is just a platform for you to do certain things which will determine your reward and your placement in eternity. Life actually is an investment opportunity for eternity, so that the things we do on this side of eternity, the things we do on earth, determines the kind of rewards, the kind of destination, the kind of disposition the Creator of all things, our Heavenly Father, will have towards each and every one of us. And I'd like to bring to our attention that the events around us, signs around us, happenings around us, alliances of nations and mighty men, the kings of the earth, are signs that portray to us that the end of the age are coming upon us. Hallelujah. The scriptures are clear. God's servant made reference to quite a number of scriptures that refer to the preparation, the signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to, as a foundation tonight, bring to our attention some of these scriptures that show us, both from Jesus and also his apostles, signs that show us that the coming of the Lord is close. So that knowing these signs, what manner of life are we expected to live? How are we expected to function? What are we expected to do? How do we prepare to meet with God? How do we prepare to spend eternity with God? And these are some of the things I'd like us to look into today and tomorrow. Are you still in here? I'd like to bring to attention quickly, we prepare for many things. When we talk about prepare, to prepare is to make ready. To prepare is to get ready. To prepare is to equip. To prepare is to be aware of an appointment, to be aware of an occasion, to be aware of the situation, the circumstance that is coming, and you are trying to make yourself ready, you are preparing yourself, you are getting yourself ready, you are trying to get people within your territories of influence ready, so that when the appointment comes, the circumstance comes, the opportunity comes, you can receive a favorable disposition at the appointed time. And you see, it's like I said, we'll be looking into some of those things tonight. You see the events, the signs Jesus predicted, prophesied, the apostles predicted and prophesied, the kind of signs that they have told us will precede the coming of the Lord. That when we see those signs, there are signs that the coming of the Lord is imminent, close by, so that we may step up the level of preparedness. And that is why God will have us to have some things we're looking into tonight. Like I started to say, we prepare for many things. Some of us actually even prepare to come to church. Some of us, we prepare for our wedding when we fix a date. Maybe this is August, we fix a date for November for our wedding. We begin to prepare from now. We prepare even before this time. We prepare money, we prepare clothes, we prepare things to buy, we prepare for drinks, we prepare for food and all of those things just for a wedding ceremony that will span maybe 1 or 2 days. Some of us, when we want to receive a dignitary, like a governor, like a senator, like maybe a bishop of a famous congregation, highly renowned and celebrated in the society, when we are told that the bishop is coming our way, or coming to our church, or coming into our households, we have this special way of preparing. When we hear, for example, that the president of this nation is coming this way, maybe to Ajota, or coming to Lagos State, we have a way of preparing, going the extra mile. We paint the roads, we paint buildings, we mark the roads, we plant trees, plants, just to receive. Most of the time, when the president, for example, is coming to Lagos, in most of the areas where you have the police, you have the military presence, you have a lot of decoration and preparation, he just drives by in moments, in a few seconds. He passes by such areas, and he will never pass through such areas throughout his time in the environment. So, but you see the level of preparedness people put into place. You hear a wife knows the husband is coming after a day at work, and the wife, right from maybe the husband will be coming like about 7:30 in the evening from work after a hard day's work. You see the wife begins to prepare from about 2 o'clock, goes to the market, buys food, chills, drink and water, and does all of those things. Probably puts on air freshener to make sure everywhere is smelling good and is not smelling like every part of the house is an extension of the kitchen. So you see the woman preparing, the woman of the house, preparing so much, well dressed. She has cooked, spent hours in the kitchen. Before the man comes, she takes a shower, she dresses up, she puts on a perfume, just in order to be able to receive the husband just for a few moments. I remember some years ago, my wife travels quite often. So some years ago, this was just about 2 years ago, she traveled and she had left the country where she was very early in the middle of the night, I think about 3 a.m. And then she was transiting through another country, and she was passing through that other country between 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. when she would be taking the flight that brings her into the country. And so when she was in the transit location, she called, and I think she sent a text, so I called her. And so when I knew that, okay, she was about to board the flight to be coming to Port Harcourt. So I just wondered that morning, I was still in bed, what am I going to do to receive my wife? And I remember that, I mean, in that particular occasion, something just clicked in my mind, in my brain. And so what did I do? I rearranged the entire bedroom. Let's say the bed was this way, the bed cabinet, 6x6. I moved it maybe to this section. Maybe we have fixed wardrobe, we have movable wardrobe. I moved the movable wardrobe maybe from this section to this section. I moved the electronics, the TV and all that, but relocated to another section of the room where you can have easy viewing from the bed. And then when I relocated the television, there were cable television wires that I had moved the TV from here, and now it's here. So I had to call an electrician to climb into my ceiling to relocate the wire. And so when my wife eventually came in the evening, and of course I put air freshener everywhere, and she just saw that, she was so excited. She gave me a big hug. But you see, with all of my hours of preparation that morning, after 1 or 2 days, my eyes are cleared. Why am I saying all this? We spend so much time, so much money, so much effort. We put in a lot of energy to prepare for what I call earthly things, transient things, natural things. Receiving a wife, receiving a job, receiving a guest, receiving a dignitary. But many people, because we have no clue, Because we are not spiritually conscious. We are not eternity conscious. We are not eternally conscious. We spend so much time and money and energy and effort and sacrifice to prepare for transient things, many a times at the expense of eternal things. I'd like you to understand quickly, the psalmist was speaking, I don't think he was saying that by the Spirit of the Lord. He said man's age is 70 and if by reason of strength 80. Jesus did not live up to 70. Moses lived beyond 80. The issue is not how long you live on earth, but whether you are given an investment opportunity of 33 years like Jesus, or 70 years like with David, or 120 years like Moses. The question is, what are you doing with your time so that you are able to reap great dividends in eternity? I'd like to challenge us here. Jesus told us again and again throughout scriptures. You study John chapter 14 from verse 1 to verse 4. He said, believe in the Father, believe also in me, my Father's house. There are many mansions. If you are not so, I'll tell you that. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And because I go to prepare a place for you, he said, I will come back to take you so that you may be with me forever. I'd like you to quickly understand, talking about immortality readiness, or what I'd like to say, eternity with God readiness. That place in eternity is prepared thoroughly, immensely prepared, but that prepared place is for a prepared people. Time will fail me tonight to begin to open to us from Revelation chapter 21. You read from verse 1 to verse 4. You read from verse 9 to verse 11. You read from verse 22 to verse 27. How it talks about the beauty of that eternal city, the heavenly Jerusalem, the holy city, the Jerusalem that will be lowered from above. It tells us about the beauty of that place and the kind of people who don't qualify because they are not prepared to enter into that beautiful city. I'd like you to understand quickly here tonight. It's so important to prepare. It's so important to prepare your mind. It's so important to prepare yourself, prepare your territory of influence, because the coming of the Lord is real, and only those who are prepared will be able to spend eternity with Him. When you hear about the trumpet blast, like Jesus said in Matthew, like Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church of Thessalonica, and likewise so many other scriptures about the coming of the Lord, that there will be a trumpet blast, the trumpet blast will only be heard by those who are prepared. If you are not prepared, no matter how loud the trumpet blast is signifying the rapture, no matter how long the trumpet's blast is, only the prepared will hear the sound, only the prepared will respond favorably to the sound. Hallelujah. And having said that, why do I need to prepare? Looking at the reality of eternity, Jesus promising us about eternity, talking about the reality of eternity, talking about the new Jerusalem, the holy city, the heavenly Jerusalem. Why do I need to prepare for that place? Can't my best life be here right now? There's a popular author, a popular pastor who wrote Your Best Life Now. Friends, if your best life is now, you will be a stranger in eternity. Why do I need to prepare? I don't want to get ahead of myself tonight. Why do I need to prepare? First of all, I'd like us to understand, you need to prepare because of the signs of the time. We need to be prepared. Whether you are married or single, whether you are young or old, whether you are male or female, whether you are rich or poor, whether you are struggling to survive or you are fulfilled in life, everyone needs to prepare. Why? Because the signs around us portray that the coming of the Lord is very close. I remember just about 3-4 weeks ago, about 4 weeks now, I was in Lagos. My youngest sister was got married in Ibadan. So I came to Lagos after the wedding for a few days with my family. And specifically on the 25th of July, Wednesday, I woke up early in the morning to spend my time with God. It was around 2, 3 a.m. And God started to challenge my heart. When you stand before your maker, when you stand before your creator, what kind of account are you going to render about your earthly sojourn? And I started to think about so many things. My life, my hope, my ministry, my family, my children. Likewise, I believe that question is not just for me. It's also relevant to every one of us. In the last 4 weeks, in the local assembly where I pastor, there have been various signs, various reports, various messages, various visions showing, portraying that the coming of the Lord is close. But you see, my challenge to us here tonight, in challenging us to the need to prepare, is not so that you sit on the edge and are waiting Jesus to appear in the sky, or you just lie down in your house doing nothing, selling all your properties, being lazy and idle, and just waiting for the hour when the trumpets will be blasted. That is not the issue I've come to address tonight. I've come to challenge your hearts with the signs around us, with the signs Jesus portrayed, which are already happening around us, with the signs in the elements, the signs in the nations, the signs of terrorism and bomb blasting. What are you doing to make yourself ready to spend eternity with your Maker? Sometimes I was sharing with our local congregation a few weeks ago, sometimes we don't prepare before God shows up in our closet. He shows up in your personal time. He shows up in your office. He shows up in the dream of the night. Sometimes we don't prepare for such things. Sometimes we prepare, we wait to meet God. We wait on the Lord. Habakkuk the prophet said, I will stand upon my watch and watch to see what the Lord will say to me and how I will respond to Him when I'm rebuked by Him. And of course the Lord responded to him. When we want communion on earth, when we want fellowship with God on earth, sometimes we prepare for it. Sometimes God invades our privacy, like we saw on the way to Damascus. He was not expecting anything about any God that would show up. He thought he was serving the living God, but Jesus showed up on the way to Damascus and started to show him certain things. So God invaded his space, and God gave him encounters with divinity, and that turned around the order of his life. Habakkuk waited on the Lord. He had an encounter with divinity, and that turned around the direction of his life. But listen to me. Whether you expect to meet God or you don't expect to meet God, in earthly communions, God shows up when we expect it. God shows up when we don't expect it. But to spend eternity with God, you cannot but be prepared. You cannot spend eternity with God by chance. You cannot stumble into spending eternity with God. You cannot spend eternity with God just living your life recklessly, aimlessly, anyhow. Heaven, eternity, New Jerusalem is for a prepared people, and you had better be prepared. Let me read some scriptures as we get on here. Signs that should provoke our hearts, that more than ever before, we need to prepare. Why do I need to prepare? Let's see some scriptures here. Start with Jesus. I take it up to Paul. Matthew 1 chapter 24, quickly. Matthew 1 chapter 24. From verse 1, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and the disciples, his followers, those who believed in him, came up to show him the buildings of the temple, the magnificence of the temple, the expensive features of the temple. Verse 2, and Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. And this quickly brings a pointer to me. In modern church, especially in Pentecostal ranks, we give so much premium, we attach so much importance to building projects, to spending so much money on buildings and all that. But you see, in the light of eternity, I've been involved in building projects, but in the light of eternity, the most expensive investment are not the building projects we embark upon. Air conditioned facilities, ergonomic chairs, and all of those fantastic things, fantastic gadgets, modern music gadgets, modern information technology gadgets, modern sitting gadgets. Maybe in some churches, you have personal screen, you have a personal iPod, just attached to your seat, beautiful. But you see, Jesus started to speak about eternity, eternal things, and immediately he made light of the importance of building. He started to tell them here. He said, not one stone. I'm not out. Coming back is not about the magnificence of buildings. My coming back is not about the billions spent on the building. The building of Solomon, a modern currency, is valued at more than $300 billion. Yet, when the things happening within that building did not correspond to heaven's agenda, the presence of God departed from that place, and God allowed enemies to bring down that multi-billion-dollar building project that was built by His design. David said in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, he said, according to the hand of God upon me, I received the design. According to the Spirit of God that moved me, I received the blueprint for building the temple. But when what was going on in the building was no longer in correspondence to heaven's priority, God's presence was withdrawn and God made enemies to bring down the building. So these are some signs here. And furthermore, they asked Jesus. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? The time of the bringing down of the temple building. This was the temple of Herod. He said, and what will be the sign of your coming? That's number two. And number three, and what will be the sign of the end of the age? And amongst other things, so many things in this place which I'll not be able to open up tonight. But amongst other things, Jesus highlighted some things here in verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. You see, all through the challenge, the instructions of Jesus about signs of the last days, he highlighted very seriously the place of deception. To be deceived is to be misled. To be deceived is to be taken from the truth until you believe a lie. To be deceived is to be taken from the real track that leads to eternity with your maker, and you are derailed so that you may have eternity, because unbelievers also have eternity. People who don't believe in Jesus also have eternity, but such eternity will be spent away from God and His Christ. And so amongst other things he said here, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying I'm the Christ and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and so on and so forth. But let me leave that verse 11. Then many false prophets. Are we not in the days of prophet this and prophet that? Prophet this and prophet that. Nigerian prophets and Ghanaian prophets. He said, and many false prophets will arise. The quantity of prophets we have had in the last 5 years in our nation and in the nations of the earth, I believe cumulatively ranks much more than the number of prophets before the last 10 years in 1,000 years of Christianity. The number of prophets who have prophet titles, prophet prefixes in our nation, in the cities of our nation, in the nations of the earth, in the last 5 years, I believe there are much more than the prophets God has sent in the last 1,000 years. There are signs of the time. He said, and many false prophets will arise and do what? So the agenda is to deceive, to mislead, to lead astray, to take away from the truth. Which was why Pastor Femi has emphasized the need to contend for the faith. Furthermore here, and because lawlessness, wickedness, ungodliness will abound, escalate like never before, he said the love of many, those who even loved the Lord originally, those who started out well, ministers who started out well, Christians who started out well, believers in Jesus who started out well, he said because of prevailing lawlessness, because of the influence of false prophets, prophesying carnality, prophesying transient things, prophesying about witches, prophesying about faulty foundations, and all of those charlatans ministry, he said here, because of all these pervading, prevailing influences, the love of many will wax cold. Verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Let me take it further here. Verse 24. For false Christ. Well, in our days, many people claiming to be Christ. For false Christ and false prophets will arise to do what? Look at it. It's there. To do what? To show great signs and wonders. So when the import of the ministry you receive in your heart, your motive, and in the heart of the minister, his motive, is just to display signs to attract you to them, to attract you to their programs, to attract you to their meetings, to attract you to their church. They are not pointing to Christ. They are not exalting Christ. They are not typifying the character of Christ. They are not talking of the finished works of Christ. All they display, all they market, all they announce, all they advertise are signs and wonders. It's a be warned. The agenda is to mislead, to lead astray. He said here, false Christ, false prophets, the agenda while they rise is to show great signs and wonders so that they may deceive it, if it is possible, the very, even the elect. Then he said in verse 25, see, I have told you before. beforehand. Meaning, before these things happen, I have warned you, I've prophesied it, I've predicted it. Now, are these things happening? Yes or no? In your territory, are these things happening? Yes or no? In your city, are these things happening? Yes or no? In my city, they are happening by the day. Likewise, in the nations of the earth. I take it further tonight. I'm first of all laying a foundation here on why you need to prepare. Because of the signs around us. Jesus talked about the signs. He talked about the need to be watchful in Luke chapter 12. He said, because the Son of Man, the Son of God, will come like a thief. That was a metaphor describing the suddenness with which he will come. While many people are not expecting him, he will come. He said, so let your loins be guarded. Let your lamps be burning. But because of time here, let's see 2 Timothy and chapter 3. Paul was writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, challenging him to strengthen the churches, to be strong for the churches of Ephesus, for which he was left behind in Ephesus. But amongst other things here, he showed him certain qualities, signs of the last days, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I read from verse 1. In the same vein, he wrote in his first letter, 1 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 1, he said, the Spirit of God speaks expressly that in the last days are the days that we usher in the coming of the Son of God. The last days are the days that we usher in the rapture. He said, signs with the last days is that many will depart from the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the totality of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the totality of his lordship, the totality of his forgiveness, the totality of his love. He said, many who have embraced him, who have confessed him, will depart. Why? The functions of false Christ, the functions of false prophets, he said, because they give heed to seducing or deceiving or misleading spirits and the doctrines of demons. Doctrines about foundations. Doctrines about enemies. We are killing people. The same people Jesus Christ died that he may give them life. And so see this here. 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1. But know this. That in the last days, the days preceding the coming of the Son of God, the days preceding the blasting of the trumpet, the days preceding the appearing in glory of the Son of God and in the host of his angels. He said here, know this, that in the last days, perilous times. What is the meaning of that time, perilous? Perilous means dangerous. Perilous means times that will be difficult to live in. He said, know this, that in the last days, perilous times, dangerous times, times that will be difficult to live in, will come. And what are the prevailing signs of such times that describes the perilous times? It's not about the calendar days. It's not about the day of the week. It's not about the month of the year. It's about prevailing lifestyles, prevailing cultures, prevailing alliances, prevailing beliefs. Look at this here now from verse 2. For men will be lovers of themselves like never before. We see that in our day. Men talking about themselves, even of the people of the living God, even in the church of Jesus Christ. Men talking more about themselves than Jesus who shed his blood to give life and power to the church. Men will be lovers of themselves. Men will be lovers of money. I stand bold to say, as one who has been involved actively in full-time ministerial engagements in over 2 decades now, that the sizable chunk of the visible Pentecostal church has been hijacked by the spirit of mammon. Money emphasis. Money emphasized more than Christ. Money emphasized more than forgiveness. Money emphasized more than the coming of the king. Listen, this world is a marketplace. That's why we are called strangers. That's why we are called pilgrims. That's why we are called sojourners. That's why we are called foreigners. So that you come here, you carry the mentality of a pilgrim, knowing that no matter how beautiful the cities are, no matter the constancy of electricity, no matter the comfort of your mansion, that this place is a transient place. Hallelujah. We said men will become lovers of money. Now pastors are willing to trade the eternal destinies of their members just so that they can have money to buy first class tickets to enjoy themselves in the nations of the earth. Is that why Jesus died? Is that why Jesus shed his precious blood? Men will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters. Not talking about Jesus, but bragging. I was in New York just yesterday. These shoes I'm wearing cost me $1,000. And all of that junk in the altar, on the altar of the living God. He said here, boasters, people who brag about their achievements, who talk about as if it was their strength, or it was their might, or it was their power that produced all these things. One of my friends posted on his social media network, he said, I paid my dues, let me enjoy myself. And I showed my wife. My wife said, what's the meaning of this? He said, there are people who have prayed and fasted and lived a holy life much longer than us, and they don't have the material substance to show for it. He says, it's by his mercies that we are who we are. It's by his mercies we have what we have. It's not because anybody has. If anybody paid any due, it wasn't you, it wasn't me. It was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. But he said, men, signs of the last days. Now you may think these things are describing sinners, unbelievers. I will show you in a moment that this was descriptive of the state of Christians who had departed from the faith. Who was described in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about the great falling away before the great day of the Lord. Those who are the foundation in Christ, those who are the root in Christ, those who are the origins in Christ, but they have embraced strange doctrines. They have embraced strange emphasis. And they are falling away. They still come to church. They still speak in tongues. They still carry the Bible. But the priorities of their lives, the core values of their lives, the things that are most important in their hearts, are no longer the things that are dear to the heart of God. So he said, here there will be boasters. Let me take, I need to move faster now. Boasters, proud, blasphemers. Who is a blasphemer? Someone who speaks disparagingly. Someone who speaks light of the things of God. Someone who desecrates holy things. Someone who makes light. You can imagine a preacher preaches so powerfully, people are blessed, saved. Then he gets to the office and he said, man, that was awesome. He said, we're just joking, you know. We're just joking. Those things we give them was just for a joke. Man of God, I've seen these things. He said here, blasphemers, they speak light. They make light. They belittle. They mock holy things, godly things, the things of God. He said here, disobedient to parents like never before. This is one generation you find rebellious children, rebellious infants, rebellious adolescents like never before. Because the spirit has been unleashed, a sign of the last days. He said furthermore here, unthankful. Unthankful Christians. Unthankful people. You are giving 10,000 naira as a gift, but because you have a sense of entitlement, you think, how can they be giving me 10,000 naira? A whole me at my level. Whether you are giving 1,000 naira or you are giving 1 million naira as a gift, it's a gift. It has to be appreciated. You have to be grateful for it. This life that we have, some people claim, oh, I'm tired of this life. If you are tired, go to the rail track of a moving train and stand in front of it. If you cannot do that, then you have better value the breath of your nostrils that you cannot purchase, that you cannot buy. But he said, in a generation where people will be unthankful, everything is belittled. Everything is despised at my level. How can I still be having this? Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. So it's easy for Christians to fornicate. It's easy for Christians to commit adultery. It's easy for Christians to falsify accounts, to have an international visa. He said here, without self-control, brutal. Despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You will be shocked to know, or probably you will not be shocked to know, if we said a stand-up comedian is coming in these 2 days, a popular stand-up comedian, before the service time, this place might not contain us. A popular stand-up comedian that knows nothing about Jesus. If we call some of these supposed gospel music ministers that I regard as gospel music entertainers, and they sing for 20 minutes, and we pay up front half a million naira into their account, this place will not contain us. Why? The spirit of the age. Men, Christians, loving pleasure more than loving God. So Jesus said, if you begin to see these prevailing signs, my coming is at the door. Like never before, prepare much more. That is why we need to prepare. The signs are all around us. Time will fail me to show us all true scriptures. You see in a scripture like 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you read from verse 1 to about verse 7, I was talking about. He said, while they, those are the people who don't know God, who are not discerning of the times, who don't know God's time plan, while they are promising safety and peace, it says suddenly destruction. Meaning the governments of the world, the powers of the nations, the kings of the nations can be promising peace and safety. He said, except the Lord keeps the city, they labor in vain that watch over it. What am I telling us here? There is a gang up of nations. There is a gang up of occultic powers. People in covenant with Satan. People in covenant with the devil. They have negotiated eternity on the altar of fame, on the altar of prosperity, on the altar of power. And they are ganging up and they are already scheming, putting structures in place to set aside God and to behave like God in the temple of the living God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 describes that the law, the coming of the law will not happen until there is a falling away. And then after the falling away, he said, and after the rapture, then will the lawless one, the wicked one, be fully revealed, who will exalt himself as God, who will present himself as God. Now nations, now kings, now what we call United Nations wants to take the place of God. Now they are pushing one world order, one world government. And there is a prophetic portrait about that from Psalm 2. He said, why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. It is not against you, as it were. It is against the God you believe in. He said, against the Lord and his anointed. They are saying we don't want prayers anymore in our schools. They are saying there is no big deal if men marry men. They are saying there's no big deal if women marry women. A few days ago, I was reading a Christian magazine of, in America, it's called LGBT. Lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgender. Those who change their sex medically. So now, in the state of California, where you have Los Angeles, Sacramento, San Diego, and all those things, they have put a law that from primary school to the highest level, children, students must be taught in public schools to be able to tolerate, to be able to accept, to be able to believe in LGBT. So sometimes when we think sending our children to school in America is a sign of arriving. I can get deeper and deeper and deeper in these things. Why? Because the kings of the earth, the Bible says, they band up, they gang up, they put themselves together. They are saying to God, they are saying to his Christ, let us break his bands from us. Let us cut his cords asunder. He said, but he that is seated in the heavens will laugh. The Lord will have them in derision. He said, you are better bow now and kiss the Son, lest he's angry and it destroys you in a moment. Listen, whatever the world is spawning, whatever the world is pushing, you see many of these world governments saying if African nations will not tolerate homosexuality, they will stop providing economic aid. That is blackmail. That is arm twisting and all of those things are there. These are signs of the times. And some of us, we are still praying to kill witches, to kill enemies. And already, the kingdom of hell, they are much more strategic to hijack the agenda of God from us. But you see, in all these things, I have peace in my heart because I know that none unto God are all his work from the beginning of the world. There's nothing the devil is scheming that God is not aware of. Actually, in God's time plan, every time he has a plan, the devil catches knowledge of it. The devil always runs ahead. And in God's wisdom, God says, go ahead. Whatever you want to do, go ahead. It was that principle Jesus taught. He said, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. But I am come that you may have life and have life more abundantly. No matter the wickedness going on in the world, no matter the satanic agenda going on in the world, there is also an agenda of God. No matter the spirit of the Antichrist poured out in the world, there is also the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon all flesh. But I'd like to challenge us, prepare. And having said that, I'd like to tidy my message tonight. How can I prepare? What do I do to prepare? Seeing these signs upon us, the schemings of nations, policies are being put in place, not against militant Islam, not against Buddhism, not against Shintoism. Policies by nations, by governments are being put in place against the Lord and against his anointed. But God has this wisdom. So how do I prepare? How do I take charge? How do I occupy until he comes? How do I make sure that I'm prepared for the new Jerusalem? How do I make sure that I'm rapturable? How do I do that which is pleasing to my Maker all the days of my life, that my earthly sojourn may serve as a platform for an eternal investment? How do I prepare? And I'd like to close that tonight from Hebrews in chapter 11. Hebrews in chapter 11. It's not enough to know the signs of the times. It's not enough to know what the devil is doing in the world. What are you doing to be equipped? What are you doing to be ready? What are you doing to be rapturable? Being rapturable is not a one event, one service encounter. It's a lifestyle. Nobody knows the day. That is why even Jesus, because he's too merciful, so God has not allowed him to know the day. Even Jesus does not know the day. So that whether you're a bishop, or you are antichrist, or you are a hypocrite, or you are a genuine Christian struggling to survive, or a genuine Christian living in abundance, God wants us to live ready, live prepared, live watchful, live waiting for the coming of the Lord. And so here you see in Hebrews chapter 11, we are told here from verse 8, he said, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let's jump to verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. They were promised a job. They didn't get it on this side of eternity. They were promised children. Some of them got it. Some of them did not get it on this side of eternity. They were promised financial breakthrough. Some got it. Some did not get it on this side of eternity. But look at this. Whether they got it or not, these all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were assured, meaning they were fully persuaded, they were convinced of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they are called to mind that country from which they had come out, they will have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country, or one can even call it a heavenly homeland. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared. Now, in the language of Revelation chapter 21, a city. That city is the New Jerusalem. That city is what the church has been granted the privilege. Not the visible church, but the rapturable church. That is the city the rapturable church has been granted the privilege to have a foretaste of in eternity. If you are not already partaking of the New Jerusalem on earth, you cannot partake of it in eternity. The Bible says we are a part of the church of the firstborn, the heavenly Jerusalem. The same language, heavenly Jerusalem, you'll find in Revelation chapter 21 to describe that city. It's called a holy city. It's called a heavenly city. It's called the Jerusalem that is lowered from above. The Jerusalem that now is earthly Jerusalem, geographical Jerusalem, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, is in bondage with her children. But some of us, we struggle, we steal, we cheat, we set aside money to travel and become Jerusalem pilgrims. As if traveling to natural Jerusalem is what substantiates your eternity with your Maker. And let me get too deep in that. So look at this. He said, God, wherefore, for such a people, with such a heart, with such levels of preparedness and preparation, God is not ashamed to be called their God. For indeed, he has prepared for them a city. That was what Jesus was referring to in John chapter 14. That was what Paul was referring to as the heavenly Jerusalem, where you have the church of the firstborn, where you have an innumerable company of angels, where the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel, and so on and so forth. What am I telling us here? Two things I like to bring amongst many things we need to put in place in order to prepare. I like us to learn from the life and mentality of Abraham. How do I prepare? One way you need to prepare for the coming of the Lord is to live a life of obedience. Obedience means an eagerness, a willingness to do. If it is obedience to God, it's an eagerness and a willingness to do God's will, God's demand, God's command, irrespective of the situation or circumstance or convenience or otherwise. That is obedience. It's not obedience when it is convenient. The bulk of the visible church, the bulk of the people who go from crowd program to signs and wonders, they obey God, they obey those pastors when it is convenient. When it looks like money will come out of it. When it looks like the enemy will be killed. When it looks like all the witches in the father's house will be destroyed. When it looks like the baby you have been looking for all over the place from Oshoshobo Festival to Signs and Wonders program in the church. The baby you have been looking for. Now there's the promise that you are going to get it. So people obey. When obedience is bracketed in the closest of the material benefit it brings to you, that is not the obedience that makes you a citizen of heaven. If your obedience, you are obedient because of the money it will bring, because of the comfort it will bring, because of the protection it will bring, and not just because you want to love the Lord and please the Lord, that is not the obedience God is looking for. You see from the life of Abraham here, make time with filming to show us from scriptures, Genesis chapter 11, Genesis chapter 12, when Abraham decided to obey the Lord, he was not coming from a poor family. He was not coming from an obscure family. The Bible tells me when he stepped out to obey, he went with a large retinue of servants and animals and livestock. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 5. Showing me that his obedience was not because of his situation of poverty and lack. In the midst of abundance, he was willing to follow. In the midst of abundance, he was willing to let go of everything. The Bible says, not knowing where he was going. Are you ready to obey when you don't know where you will arrive at? Are you ready to obey when you don't know what will become of your prestige and social status? Are you ready to obey God when you don't know where the destination, the journey will land you? He left the certainty of all the Chaldees to go through uncertain territories and nations. But he knew that if God is in it, I'd better be in it. I've heard people say, if the streets of heaven are not lined with gold like I've read, if heaven does not have mansions promised each of us like I've read, as long as God is there, whatever constitutes that heaven, as long as God is there, it is sufficient for me. May that be your mentality. That is the mentality of the prepared people who are ready for a prepared place. Hallelujah. So number one ingredient God is looking out for in our lives, obedience. Obedience to God at any cost. Obedience, no matter what it will take. No matter what it takes from you in a moment. No matter what it takes from you on earth. The Bible says, Abraham obeyed, coming out of his father's house, not knowing where he was going. And I like to say this about obedience. Christians struggle to obey, like I said. Many of us Christians, we only want to obey if we know that at the end of this obedience, there will be financial breakthrough. At the end of this obedience, I will have a house that my father and my forefathers were never able to build. Material benefits, a child, material benefits, promotion in the office, signs and wonders, terrible anointing. So we obey when we are promised those material things. And you see these false ministers, they take advantage of the desperation and covetousness in our hearts. And they smile to the bank and all the things they promise you, year in, year out, they don't come to pass. In December, they will tell you, 3 weeks, this year will not carry your miracle over. Then by January 8th, they forget all those things they promised you. They said, this is the year. But no, we don't think, we don't reason. I was in a dedication 2 Saturdays ago, one of the people who look up to me in ministry in Port Harcourt built a fantastic facility, called me to come and do the dedication. I felt, do I do the dedication and leave? But I teach my people, when you go to minister in a place, music ministers in particular, wait until you do your part and wait to receive other people's part. So I shouldn't be a hypocrite. So let me wait. But I already had a witness in my heart that these guests, this my young man is bringing, there's something funny about him. I've never seen him before. And then he came in while worship was going on. Dressed like a priest. Pentecostal pastor. Sat down throughout the worship. He sat down as if he was the person who was worshiping. Throughout. We went out to start the dedication from the entrance. Walked in, spoke, prophesied. I didn't know my associates who went with me. They were watching. He said the guy never said amen once. Then eventually after finishing my dedication, he was eventually called, started to. So much charisma. So much articulate expression. But empty. In the 45 minutes I was subjected to the torture of his preaching, not once. I'm sorry. Not once did he mention the name of Jesus. Not once did he open the Bible. Of course, he made references to Bible. You know what we call in information technology? Cut and paste. Copy and paste. And you could see all the motive was, he was driving the people towards a special offering. And then he entered into the ministry of exaggeration. One of the compartments of the faculty of lies. And he started to say some things of, 7 years ago I was such a poor man. I had nothing. I was living in a borrowed house, in a borrowed room, with a borrowed mattress with my wife. And then I went to a program. They were dedicating a building. And then they said, who will give 200,000? Then I jumped out. The man who was asking said, are you sure you can give? Did you hear what I said? He said, I heard. Are you sure you heard what I said? He said, I heard. A man who was sleeping on borrowed mattress. Then he said, I remember that I had 200,000 I've been saving for the past 2 years. Now, you see, because we don't think in the church. You are living in borrowed house, borrowed room, borrowed mattress with your wife. And you are able to save 200,000. With 10,000 naira, you buy a mattress for crying out loud. A good quality one. See that? They didn't stop there. You could see all the motivational speaking was to get the people to be willing to give sacrificially. He said, as I was leaving that meeting that day, he said, he was coming from Gombe. He said he went to Abuja, then flew to Gombe. We have a missionary church in Gombe. So this thing started to expose him. I was in Gombe about 4 years ago to a missionary church there. The Gombe airport runs only on special. In fact, the Gombe airport, as far as I'm concerned, was built for the governor. It's not commercially viable. Then he said he flew from Gombe. I mean, from Abuja to Gombe. So, you know, people like us that we reason out everything. I said, this ministry of lies has started. Then he said, while he was in the aircraft, a man talked to him and said, why are you quiet? He said, I'm a man of God, I'm meditating. He said, then he started to say, since you're a man of God, I want you to pray for me. There is a government contract I did in Abuja, they did not pay me. To cut long story short, he said, by that evening when they landed in Gombe, the man of God said, your prayer worked. And gave him 20 million naira. A friendship that was just struck in 6 hours. Gave him 20 million naira cash. And no. Yes, cash. So he said the bullion van that brought the vehicle should also help him to take it to the bank. He said, then the man of God said, since your prayer is working so much, I want you to pray again. There's this and that with a multinational oil producing. He said, within 1 month, he became a multimillionaire. That the man of God was so impressed with the anointing on his life. He now said, if your father can be blessing me like this, I should be a blessing to your son. And then he said he took his son to England and put him in a school where they are paying 5 million naira per term. When I got home, I opened my iPad. I Googled, most expensive school in England. And that's just the way I am. Most expensive school in the world, most expensive school in England. The most expensive secondary school in England is Eton College, where the sons of the kings, the prime ministers go to, where Ojukwu went to, of blessed memory. The total cost per annum is just about 6 to 7 million naira in pound sterling equivalent. Now he says he's paying 15 million naira per year, 5 million for 3 terms. Then I now checked also, most expensive, in case, because that man cannot be up to 40. In case his child is already in university, most expensive universities in the world, from America to England, Harvard, Princeton, Imperial, Oxford, those are the most expensive, including hostel cost, with 10 million naira, they will give you change for 1 year. See that? And these were the people. People were rushing out to drop money and were shouting. What am I saying to us? Let me tie this here. I wanted to give us 2 points, but I'll leave it on this one. Obedience to God. and it's going to cost you. It cost Abraham. He left things. He left fame. He left a name. He left substance. But he knew that this is God calling me. Likewise to every one of us, there is a song by Clint Brown I love to sing. Zion is calling us to a higher place of praise. It will cost you something. Don't give to God that which will not cost you anything. In fact, it will cost you your life. Obedience to God is not one Friday of obedience, one Sunday morning service of obedience. It's a lifestyle and a culture of obedience. We'll take it from here tomorrow. Shall we take a bow tonight? Are you ready to obey? When it costs you your job, are you ready to obey? When it costs you your prestige, are you ready to obey? When what your parents, rich parents, but who don't believe in your Jesus, when they tell you that if you follow us in what we do, we will give you houses, we will give you fame, we will give you Jesus. But Jesus is saying, drop that and follow me. Are you ready to obey? It's easy to obey when it brings, produces a Jesus, it produces a child, it produces fame. Are you ready to obey when it produces challenges, trials, persecution? Paul told the churches in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, he said, through much tribulation we enter the kingdom. The demands God will place on you in obedience will stretch you, will challenge you. But friends, on earth and much more in eternity, it will bless you. I'd like you to lift up your voice and pray tonight. Lord, help me. Help me to discern the times. Help me to discern the signs of the times. And help me to walk accurately with you in obedience. A life of obedience. When all the circumstances are not right, they're not favorable, will you be ready to obey? He told the rich young ruler, go and sell all, give to the poor, and come and follow me. He said, even though I've been obeying you from my youth, obeying the commandments, this one, I find it difficult to obey. Jesus looked at him and loved him, but he knew what he loved. Are you ready to obey? When in your class everybody is doing OBT and the Spirit of the Lord is saying, come out from amongst them, be my son that I may be your father. Will you be ready to obey? When they share loot in your office, the loot of falsehood, the loot of compromise, the loot of unrighteousness, will you be ready to obey? Or it will be business as usual in the office and then you come to church and lift holy hands. Will you be ready to obey? For Abraham, he obeyed. He obeyed. At great cost. But God also looked at his heart and saw an obedient life and blessed him on earth and in eternity. The Bible tells us about Jesus. He said, let this mind be in you as it was in Christ Jesus. Though in the class of God, he did not count it robbery to be equal with God. He said, yet he made himself of no reputation, humbled himself and was obedient to death. Even the death of the cross. Are you ready to be obedient to death? Prosperity preachers, faith preachers have told you that obedience always leads to promotion. But with Jesus, it led to death first. You're ready to obey. Actually, you cannot be obedient to God as a lifestyle if you have not been to the cross of Christ. If you have not received the crucified life. If you have not been crucified with Christ Jesus, you may obey on Sunday. You will not obey from Monday to Saturday. If you have not been to Jesus, if Jesus has not put a knife to your heart, if you are not crucified, you cannot live the obedient lifestyle. The obedient, those who are obedient are those who are crucified. When you see your friends moving up on the social ladders of life, you see your friends cruising in brand new jeeps, you see your friends receiving anointing for tear rubber, and the tear rubber is coming, and here you are struggling to survive, to pay your rent, just because you love the Lord and you want to obey the Lord. If you are not crucified, you can't obey. You will only obey when it is convenient. Lift up your voice and pray. Lord, help me to live a life of obedience, even when it is not convenient. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. I'm sorry, our time is past.